Fred Film Radio, Sydney Film Festival, Australia.
This is Cristiana Palmieri for Fred Film Radio from the Sydney Film Festival, and I'm here with Amin Palangi, the director of Love Marriage in Kabul, and Mahbaba Rawi, founder of Mahbaba Promise Charity. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Amin, Love Marriage in Kabul is a documentary which tells several different stories, not just one. The story of Mahbuba and her charity work, the story of an orphanage in Kabul, the story of Abdul and Fateme and their hope to get married. Would you like to tell a little bit more about these stories and this red thread, if you want? Because there is a red thread in this documentary.
I could tell you why I got interested in
the story.
Because essentially it's a documentary, and I intended to observe it as much as I can. But I guess rather than be a fly on the wall, I end up being more of a fly in the soup, as I would say. But I was introduced to Mahbuba after my first film in Afghanistan, which is about women committing suicide by self-burning. And once that was screened nationally and internationally in a few festivals, I was then introduced to Mahbuba's work, and then we met. And I was
so you met in Kabul?
No, we met here actually.
In Sydney.
And I was incredibly impressed by her work and who she was as a person. And she's very enthusiastic, and I wanted to make a film about her if I could, but I did not want to make a film that just focuses on the charity aspect of it.
That
maybe just for artistic reasons. My background is in fictional storytelling, and I was interested in character-driven stories. But also, to be honest, I wanted to showcase her character as a human being that has been able to sort of create amazing work rather than a Mother Teresa kind of character, if that makes sense. I wanted to show a personal story that sort of challenges her on a personal level as well. So, we were in touch for a number of years until in 2009, I think it was, where she said she's going to go back to Afghanistan to not only attend her projects, but attend a wedding. And that was, we left it at that. But I thought, this probably is something that I like to do. It's a love story, and I thought international people will relate to that.
All right. And in fact, when I watched the documentary, as you correctly pointed out, is a documentary, but it really drives you into the story of these people. So it really feels like being part of what's happening on the screen. And I did appreciate that aspect of the documentary. Mahbuba, tell us about your charity and what are the projects that the charity supports?
The charity called Mahbuba's Promise, it's been, 15 years ago I made a promise to dedicate my life for the sake of children, to look after them, and especially for widows and orphans in my country. I keep that promise for 15 years. And the project we run is mostly education, training, vocational training, and we built hope houses and look after children who lost their mother and father, or they're homeless, and we put them in hope house and or look after them after that. It's like hope house is giving them hope for their life. It's almost 1.5 decades I've done this.
Yeah.
And I started it by myself, and slowly it grows big, and lots of Australian community, Aussie women and men are now join me.
Okay, so they are part of your charity.
Yeah, it's like multicultural. Something about Australia is multicultural. Everybody put their hand together so we can give a hope and for the children, and we are focused a lot, heaps for girls and women and education.
And you said that is becoming a multicultural project because a lot of Australians are included in this project. And why is that? How did you attract the interest of Australian people in this project? What was the trigger?
Because I believe the universe has a one and the people is all one. I believe that everybody's have to put their hand together to share and tackle this poverty and make the world a better place for everybody to live in. So I left the door open for all nationalities, so that's why people from every walk of life, they can come and do a bit of volunteer hours with Mahbuba's Promise, and that's what we become. You know, it's like, that's what I believe, that if you're Muslim, you don't have to be just working for Muslim, but if you're not Muslim, you just stay away from Muslim community. I just left the door open for everybody, and everybody come, and I think we achieve a beautiful project in Afghanistan.
This is very refreshing, the idea of the door open regardless the religion and the walk of life. I mean, it's really inclusive.
Because we put our hand together for humanity.
Yeah.
And I think in every religion, humanity is the highest one that you can get. So that's what I believe.
I mean, back to the artistic part of this interview. You mentioned the fact that you do features, and so you have an experience both in making documentary and making features film. How can you describe the main difference between making a documentary and making a feature?
Well, I would say why making a documentary, especially one with this nature where, well, you don't know what's happening next, essentially, that would be the thing. I mean, I remember, because we are in Afghanistan, of course, and there is a lot of challenges actually shooting there.
Yeah.
And my crew just involved myself and my wife, who helped with sound, so shooting and... And, you know, the challenge there is pretty much to make sure that the camera's presence is actually non-existent. Otherwise, people obviously notice it right away. And so, you know, through interacting with people, and we sort of made sure that, you know, people are not taking much of a notice of the fact that there's a camera there. But I would say, you write a script for a number of years, you plan it all out, you've got pre-production, you've got a massive team. And, you know, when you're directing, it just then becomes a matter of covering what you've already envisaged. But with a documentary, it's more about the spontaneity of life and what's happening. And that's what actually drove me to make this film, because, you know, the adrenaline rush of, you know, not knowing what's expected.
Yeah.
Or... and, you know, I mean, it of course helps if you have a great subject, you know, and the main character, like Mahbuba, where it's incredibly...
Is a very good filmmaker. What he did in Afghanistan, which I really like about him, because I'm involved with many, many film, you know, I've done a few documentary, but what he have done, he built his relationship with the orphan children.
Mm.
So they call him Uncle. And and then when he built this trust, the film itself, it just happened. It's not like the way people tell you do this. He's there, he's with the kids, and everything is happening by itself.
Yeah.
So that's what is one thing I like about him, building that strong relationship and caring for the children. It's not just to just go and do your film and say goodbye, but he did it in a friendly and beautiful way of caring for children. And my kids in the orphanage, they all love him. So he become uncle.
Thank you.
A filmmaker and uncle.
But yeah, most of our time now with the documentary was spent in the edit room trying to sort of bring... I mean, I always wanted this story, so as I was shooting, I was pursuing this particular story, and but I was, you know, covering everything else as well. So in the edit room was to find a balance of, you know, the presentation of the love marriage, the story of that, the possibility of that, and as well what Mahbuba does for these kids.
And it's not easy in Afghanistan for a filmmaker to capture the waiting, where the privacy of, while, you know, they're wearing makeup and you know, it's like, this is something very private. So you've done something which is very, very difficult to do.
But you can guess, watching the documentary, that you were shooting something very intimate, very personal, very part of a family group of people. And I think that the documentary, the shooting captured this intimacy.
I'm glad you say that. I mean, because that was, for me, you know, the whole point was to show a very personal story, something that actually you can relate to, rather than this this generic picture of Afghanistan. Was to dig deeper and go inside people's homes, and that's why I said I did my best to make sure that people are not uncomfortable with the presence of camera. Of course, you know, it always has its presence, but as much as we could. And I think the reason we were able to get that kind of access, which I think is really crucial in making a doco, was, of course, Mahbuba's presence, but also I think my wife's presence, the fact that I was married and there was a woman with me, and you know, it gives
a reassuring effect.
Yeah, also. I mean, a lot of times we send Sanaz in with the camera, and then that sort of made people a lot more comfortable than having a man coming in. And, you know, when once they were feeling a little bit more easy or safer, then I would come in. Or, of course, yeah, Mahbuba just text me in. It's good to have her in there.
I mean, there is a scene in the documentary when Mahbuba's arrival arrives at the Hope House Australia with the crew, and this scene is very moving. You can feel how much Mahbuba is cherished by the kids. How was working with the kids in the orphanage?
Oh, look, it was just fantastic. I mean, as much as Mahbuba was just saying that, you know, they love me there, I mean, the truth was I really fell in love with them. And also, to be honest, when I started the film, I was skeptical about Mahbuba's work. One of the reasons I was curious to continue this film was to actually go in there myself and see how she's managing, you know, this organization. Because when you see her and the level of bureaucracy, I guess, they have, which is really small, you just wonder how this work is actually possible. It sounds really good on paper, but is it real? So I was a bit quite skeptical about it, to be honest. And then, but when I went there, I was just absolutely blown away by the change that Mahbuba and Mahbuba's organization has managed in these people's lives. Because it's not just about welfare. I mean, of course, they receive basic needs like food and shelter, but I feel personally, and what I experienced from these kids was hope for a really bright future. I think she has managed to actually change the future of Afghanistan by educating these kids, but not only, as I said, in terms of, you know, receiving food and shelter, but in terms of educating them as future leaders of Afghanistan. And I think that might sound small, but I think it's a huge significance in the work that they're doing. And yeah, they're all very happy, high-spirited. They gave me like a, you know, upper middle class kind of attitude most of the time, which is, I mean, it's incredible, you know. And I find that to be quite astonishing. I think it's something really great about the work that Mahbuba Promise is doing there.
What about communicating with the kids about the language?
I'm from Iran, so I can speak Farsi. The language in Kabul is, I find, to be about 70% similar. So
it's not too different from Farsi?
No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, I tried to learn the language as much as I could. Like, mainly the difference is in a bit of accent and vocabulary to some extent. But I was trying to learn that as soon as I can. And again, you're trying to fit in as much as possible and be an insider rather than outsider imposing. The communication was quite easy, and I was really fortunate to know Farsi enough to be able to talk to them. Yeah.
Mahbuba, I'm quite curious about an aspect of your life, which is actually split between Sydney and Kabul. How do you manage to live in two very different societies, running different lifestyles?
To answer this question quickly, I kind of live the same lifestyle in both countries.
this is remarkable.
Because what I've done for the past 15 years of my life, I choose to live very basic. I choose to cut so much material out of my life, and I choose to live in a very tight budget. So I'm almost living the way they're living, except I live in a safer country with beautiful blue sky and sunshine, and they live in a country which they, any minute there is a chance they can die. So I don't see much of so much different in my life in Western world, because I'm so busy with this work and I'm kind of with them all the time. Even though I live here, my thought, my spirit, everything is there with them. So I cannot see much different, but of course I'm lucky we live in a peaceful country.
And when did you move over to Australia? Many years ago?
I arrived in Australia in 84.
Oh,
so
right.
It's a long time now. Yeah. Grow old here.
I mean, back to the artistic, technical side of the interview. How was shooting the documentary in Kabul? You mentioned briefly before the fact that you tried to hide the camera, if you want. But in terms of practical situation, practical condition of shooting in Kabul, could you please unpack a little bit about it?
Yeah, well, I had been to Afghanistan a number of times before this film. So I was, you know, used to the difficulty of the challenging circumstances there, especially if you're shooting on the streets. So what I did was, of course, getting a permission letter from the, you know, the ministry there. So because you get stopped by the secret police once in a while if you got a camera, so you gotta have some sort of documentation to show. And I think the fact that I was Iranian did help quite a lot. Because I think, you know, they're neighboring countries, and I think they like us there. It's one of the few places that happens. So that was really good. But there were moments where, you know, things, not in this particular trip, but in one of my first trips, I was captured and put in prison for a few hours. And I mean, you don't know what's going to happen because I accidentally shot somewhere I wasn't supposed to.
And straight away you were put in jail.
Well, yeah, in the police station. So there's like things like that can happen. You just gotta, to be honest, I mean, the thing is, every time we go back, I had a bit of fear, because especially I have my wife with me too, and I was really worried about her. But the moment you just arrive there, it all disappears, you know. I mean, I love the country, I love Kabul, I love the people, and the time that we went there for this film, we were staying with one of Mahbuba's family, and they were so, I mean, accommodating. I remember really missed them. They were really incredibly kind to us. So lots of amazing, happy memories, but at the same time, you cannot just forget the challenging aspects of actually making a film there or shooting there. In fact, wasn't it this time I almost got shot? And literally got shot.
Literally.
Almost. I was about
to. Not the metaphorical artistic.
Not with the camera this time.
The problem if they know that he's going to film the houses, private houses with the woman in it.
Oh, yeah.
So there was, he was shooting, he was in one of my orphanages, Hope House in Panjshir Valley, and he was filming and I think the mountain.
I was on the roof, shooting the mountains,
right.
Yeah.
And then somebody by mistake thought he's filming the ladies
in the house.
In the house. So they just pulled their gun to shoot him, and there's by coincidence they didn't pull it, otherwise he would have died.
By coincidence, yeah. So they were about to shoot me. So I'm not aware of this. I come downstairs and I hear Mahbuba like talking quite animatedly, and then I open this door and there's like four men sitting with Mahbuba, and what I hear as I walk in, Mahbuba says, "If you had shoot him, you would have had to shoot me as well." And I'm like, "Who's shooting who? Oh my god!" Like, you know,
like another film, actually with real guns.
Yeah, and the guys, the commander was there, and he was like so incredibly like angry at me for whatever reason. Yeah. So I end up playing the dumb card, you know, like, I don't know, I didn't know, I'm sorry, whatever. And then, you know, Mahbuba slowly softened them and, you know, sort of gained their trust and, you know, introduced me that, you know, he's like my brother, etc. But yeah, it was really weird. I mean, I could have been shot and...
and yeah. Not be here for the interview.
Well,
today.
Exactly. So, you know, happy to be here.
I have one last question for both of you. Have you got a new project for your charity work that you want to talk about?
Yes, definitely. I have one in mind, and I'm hoping if somebody hear us and want to help us. In one area of, in Afghanistan, which landslide happened recently, there's many women lost their life. Many people die on the landslide. But before the landslide, so many women have problem with birth. When they're having birth, they're dying because there's no hospital, there's nothing, maternity. I want to build one maternity in
clinic,
for women to come and give a birth safely. So I'm looking for somebody, some people around the world to help me. If they're interested on helping us for this project, this is what I want to do, and that's what my aim is to... It's sometimes, you know, it's ridiculous. A woman die for hygiene pack. You know, sometimes a hygiene pack can save woman life while they're giving birth.
Yeah.
So, that's my next project.
And we'll definitely try to give visibility to your organization to Fred.
Oh, yeah. If Fred bring me to London, I will be grateful.
We'll do our best.
That sounds great.
And I mean, I have one same question.
Yep.
Do you have any new project you want to talk about?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, it's really, I've been thinking about this past, because the film finished about 2 months ago. Ever since, like, oh, all right, well, this one's done. What's next? And, I mean, I definitely want to see the film through the festival circuit. But, I'm thinking about the story in Iran. It's my home country, and I've never been able to find a subject where I could make without getting in trouble. But now I think, there's something that I'm very curious about to make that hopefully I would not get in trouble making that. Yeah.
So, like a film or a screenplay about Iranian society?
It's a documentary, actually.
A documentary?
It's a documentary that I want to make in Iran.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll stay tuned.
Yeah. Sounds good.
So thank you very much, Amin and Mahbuba, for your time. And Amin, enjoy the festival. And Mahbuba, enjoy your great work with your charity.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's
Thanks
great.
For having us.
I have been talking to Amin Palangi, the director of Love Marriage in Kabul, and Mahbuba Rawi, founder of Mahbuba's Promise Charity, here at the Sydney Film Festival. And I'm Christina Palmieri for Fred Film Radio, the festival insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.